flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Off we go into the final hour of the Rob Brown Show here on a Thursday, 9 o'clock on the dot, rolling through the fourth quarter, the final 60, or if you're Adam Silver, the last 10 minutes of the game, because apparently that's the thing we're doing. We gotta get more commercials in there. I mean, make the games shorter, right? College football that changed all these rules, and the average time went from 3 hours and 21 minutes down to 3 hours and this is true, 20 minutes per game. That's spectacular. Quit lying to me, Adam. Quit lying to me. Okay, please and thank you. Let's see, because then I blame it fully on him. Mario, do we have you? Can we hear you? No, we cannot. Spectacular.
Yeah, it's very weird that they can hear him on the stream, but we cannot hear him. Yeah. That makes it sound like it's a board problem.
Technical difficulties on our end. We will
let me see if I can get an engineer in here.
Yeah, just start clicking buttons. Let's see what happens. What's the worst that can happen? We're all going to let you stare at Mario here for just a second and not hear him, except apparently if you're watching on the stream. What if I is this going to create an echo? Mario, can we hear you now? Nope, still can't. Okay, we'll work on getting Mario lined up here in a second. We'll see if we can get Captain America Chris Evans down the hall to come in and save us, Chris One Kenobi. You're our only hope, because I do want to hear what Mario has to say about our early Super Bowl bets, about this quote from Adam Silver saying the NBA may consider cutting 2 minutes off of every quarter, because I'm not going to lie, emotionally, I hate it because the NBA plays 12 minutes quarters. That's what it is. That's what it was. And that's what it always has been. And by the way, those on the stream that can hear Mario, I'm sorry, but also we can't yet. And sending it over the radio is kind of priority number one. So we'll work on that. We'll see if we can get that organized and fixed and get Mario in here. If not, we may just have to bump you to tomorrow, which I don't want to do, but we'll let you know.
You know, he does have a phone, I'm guessing.
You know what? That's even dumber.
To do that. There's a thing.
You know what? Let's see if we can do phone and video at the same
time. We've done it before.
Yeah, we have.
We've done it with Rashad.
844-326-3663. That's the number to call in, even if you're Mario, and be a part of the show. Let's see if we can get Mario on the phone, and we'll keep him on the stream. Worst case, at least that way we'll be able to hear what he has to say. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the wonderful world of radio, where we, and this is true, constantly make it up as we go, and we're damn good at it. All right. We have Mario on the phone. Is that correct? We're all going to sit here and watch him with his phone to his face. What's up, man?
What's up? Let me tell you this right now. You sound hotter through the phone. Oh, you're a good, like, little soldier boy, kiss me through the phone. That could have been your song back in the day, if I must say myself. That was the song between me and my second grade girlfriend, and that lasted all 2 weeks. So
that is, and I mean this, the oldest pop culture reference you've ever gotten right.
Kiss me through the phone. That song was awesome.
That is,
I love that song.
The only pop culture reference older than like 2017 that you've gotten right. Nice job. I applaud you.
Hey, if you do that era of rap, man, I know that one very, very well. I was, my siblings made sure I knew that and nothing else. I accomplished that.
What was your reaction to? Because I didn't like it. And I don't necessarily know that I didn't like it in a way of like, oh, it's ruining basketball. You know, a lot of people felt that way when they put the new NFL kickoff rule into play. Oh, you're changing the game fundamentally. And I was like, hey, let's see what it... I feel like the issue I take with Adam Silver's comments on the Dan Patrick Show that the NBA may consider shifting to 10-minute quarters. And, of course, he said it's because the NBA is the only global major professional league that does that. My thought was, dude, you're not going to shorten up the games. You're just going to play more commercials in them. And not that it bugs me, but just, like, be honest about it. What was your gut reaction to that yesterday from the commish of the league?
It was like a counter move to make sure that they don't go down from any two games. That's the way I kind of felt it, where it was like maybe there's pressure on the inside of going, hey, this 82-game season, we already have a lot of our star players that aren't playing, you know, the full 82, barely even 50 to 60 games. Why not just shorten the season down, make it shorter? But, you know, the less games, the less money you make, right? And, you know, newsflash, everyone, especially the NBA and everyone in the entertainment business, is in the business of making money. So what's a way kind of to go, we keep the games at 82, we keep that revenue going. Like you said, we can put more commercials in, so that's more change coming at us. How can we do that? Shortening the games. That's the way I kind of saw it. I go, oh, this is kind of the counter to how can we, you know, make this season shorter? Oh, let's just make the games a couple minutes, you know, take off 2 minutes each quarter, see if that works. That's the way I saw it. Do I think it's going to happen? I don't know, man. Like, I think they have bigger issues right now. The big dip we saw in the in-season tournament this year is an issue that they really got to figure out. I would focus on that more. I think the first two rounds of the NBA playoff series, I think they could shorten, like, the first round. We can make that best of five. We don't have to make it best of seven. I think that's something that they should, you know, care about more than a minutes, you know, cut down. But hey, Adam Silver kind of does what he wants, or at least the owners tell him what to do.
I would agree with that. And I would go so far, just to kind of like keep it on equal ground, I actually think Adam Silver's been a pretty good commissioner for the NBA overall, like of the major sports commissioners. Yeah. He's definitely better than Bettman. He's definitely better Goodell, in my opinion. You know, I don't think Rob Manfred is as bad as he's made out to be, but I still think Silver's better. I think he's done a really good job. I just looked at this and I'm like, you know, if you were keeping it a buck with this, Adam, you would acknowledge that this is just a way for the, and again, at the end of the day, like you pointed out, the NBA is not a charity. It's here to make money. The owners are invested to make money. Yep. That's all well and good. But like, don't sit here and go, oh, you know, it's for the greater good of basketball. No, it's not. It's for the greater good of your wallet. Just say it.
And two, they really got to jump on what they have right now. Like, this is the most talented the NBA has ever been. But they have stars everywhere. You go to any game, there's a star player out there that's going to drop 30 points and be very entertaining to watch. You got to capitalize on that, right? And the last thing you want to do is be the MLB and have Mike Trout, that's arguably the greatest best baseball player in history, and you don't do any marketing with him. And there's nothing that you kind of really capitalize on with him. So the NBA has to kind of do something, and they got to capitalize on the moment that they're in right now. And how they do that, you know, we will see. But, yeah, this is just a way to make more money, man. And power to them. If this is how you want to do it, then do it. But let's, you know, get past superstars crying and fighting with GMs that we're currently getting right now, Jimmy Butler and Pat Riley, which is the most nauseating. I don't know if anyone's kept track of how many times Jimmy Butler has been suspended. I believe it's 3 times now. But it seems like every day there's a new story of him getting suspended, or him and Pat Riley are having an ego off, and yeah, it's kind of annoying.
All right, Mari, switch to your mic.
Okay.
Talk to me, Goose.
Testing.
All right, it's low, but we can make it work. All right, I'll bump his volume up. We're good to go. All right, we got Mario, I believe, now set up and good on the stream with us. Hating ass Mario, Mario Heron from the BetQL Network, executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, which you can hear on this and fine Odyssey stations everywhere every weekday night from 7 until 11 p.m. Let's flip over Mario and talk some NFL. Now we have got the Chiefs and the Eagles running it back. The replay of a Super Bowl 2 years ago. I said this on your show on Tuesday when I was on. I've said it a couple times on this show. This game is interesting to bet if you're a consistent bettor. It's interesting to bet because you have a variable that you don't really deal with any other time of the year, and that is casual bettors who are coming in. They're putting money in the game. They're betting the over because they want to root for touchdowns. They're betting the team they want to win, the Chiefs to see history, the Eagles to prevent it, whatever. And these things can, not always will, but can move the line. It can even go so far as to moving prop bets. You know, if all the Swifties are throwing a little change at Travis Kelce to have a great game, his yardage number may go from 69.5 up to 71, 72, and that can change what the right play is. So, to me, this is a game where I locked in a lot of bets early, the minute the NFC title game was over, as soon as those lines came up. And the rest of the bets I want to make, I'm waiting until like kickoff to let the casuals move that line if I think they're favorable. Is there anything early that you're looking at in this game?
I think if you like anything of the star players, jump on it quick. So like Kelce, Mahomes, Barkley, those are like the big three that kind of come to my head right away. Any of those, hop on it now, because by the time we hit next Sunday or, you know, even next week, those numbers are going to be so inflated. And they're so going to, you're going to lose good key numbers. One thing I really liked right away, just because this guy's been on fire and he's the reason why they're there, I jumped on Saquon Barkley, 2 touchdowns at plus 300, because that number is going to dip, man. People go, oh, how, you know, the casual's going, Saquon Barkley should be the MVP. You know, he's ran over every team. They look at the highlights of him jumping backwards over a player. They see the insane run he had against the Commanders. They know that he's going to go off. That number is going to get hit and hit and hit and hit. That's going to go down. The other one, too, that I bet with our good colleague, Ryan Horvath, shout out to him, is the Travis Kelce MVP. I took that one. This does really feel like the Kelce kind of last go around. And it's, let's be honest, we have like the Taylor Swift factors in there. The Swifties are going to hit that number a lot. And sometimes we've seen, too, in history where when a team like the Chiefs, where it's just a dynasty and they keep on winning, they try to, like, you know, divvy out the MVP. It can't always go to the quarterback. Travis Kelce sneak into the end zone a couple times. That just makes sense for him to win it. So I went ahead and took a stab with that. Anything else I would look at, too, I've been going back and forth on taking Jalen Hurts rushing yards. And for the reason was because the first time they faced, he really ran all over the Chiefs in that previous Super Bowl. And Spagnuolo, who's one of the best defensive minds in the league, if there's one thing he really wants to do, is do everything he can to slow down the run of Saquon Barkley. If they can slow him down a little bit, maybe like Jalen Hurts keeps it and runs it for himself, he's going to be a little bit healthier in this matchup. So that's something I've been keeping my eye out for. And then the other thing, too, that I think, shout out to everyone, but a casual bettor never bets an under. And I think that for the total game as well. So I think a lot of money is going to come in on the over because of all the studs on the offense and sides on both ends. I'm going to wait until literally the last second before kickoff and bet the under in this game, because there's a good chance with these defenses and these fronts that yards are going to come, you know, are going to be very hard to come by. So are first downs, so are touchdowns. So that's just something to be aware of. A casual bettor never bets an over. I mean, always bets an over. They never bet an under, which, by the way, I completely understand. Every time I bet an under, to this day, I still feel like a coward.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you why that was, that they only bet the under. I mean, they never bet the under.
I think it's because people love cheering for, like, points. They love cheering for success. Like, they love going, oh, my God, like, you know, more points, the better, the more entertaining, the more entertaining. I think people like that factor, and it's just of – I think people's thoughts when you first go into gambling is like, yeah, of course Patrick Mahomes would throw over 250 yards. Why wouldn't he do that? He's the best player in the world. You know what I mean? Like, they think that right away. Like, why wouldn't that happen? Like, yeah, that would happen. It's the biggest, you know, game of the year. He's going to go off. Just that line of thinking, that's what people will always go to and kind of get drawn to. And that's kind of just how, you know, the cookie crumbles. And
it's more about your rooting interest. You think, I'm rooting for this team and they're going to do great because I'm rooting for
them. I don't even think it's that. Yes, but Mario, my thought here would be,
there are a lot of people out there who don't bet. Right. So that's the reason why I'm asking.
Who's going to a Super Bowl party and going, I hope nobody scores?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's what it comes down to. Hey, Naz, Mario Heron from the BetQL Network joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. I agree with you. I think, like I said, there's a bunch I jumped on early. There's also a bunch I'm waiting for. I'm waiting on that Travis Kelce number to settle. It was 69.5 when it opened. I'm kind of wondering, like, does it go up to 72, 73? This is a guy who was largely uninvolved in the AFC Championship game. What do you have, like, one catch for 12 yards? Now, there is a factor, and I want to switch over and talk X's and O's here. We have all, Ryan, myself, I think you, have all kind of talked in the past about how it feels like, whether it's true or not, I really need to go do the research, but it feels like the Chiefs in the regular season kind of hold back a little bit, right? They never open up full throttle. They kind of save it. They know they're going to the playoffs. They're built for the playoffs. And so when they get to the playoffs, there's always a little something left in the tank for that. And my question mark with that being pointed out is this a Kelce blow-up game? Was he kind of held back a little bit in the last game, maybe not featured as much, so that they could go back to having a guy that we all know can be a weapon still available as a weapon, even if everybody fell asleep on him last week? And if so, does he break out? I'm not going to go with you on the MVP bet, not because I don't think Kelce can have a big game, but because I know they want to divvy the award up. The reality is, if they three-peat and Mahomes becomes the only quarterback to three-peat, and he is the face of the league right now, he's getting that trophy. Here's my takeaway. Bet him now because he's plus money. Not much, plus 105, but bet him while he's plus money.
And if he throws three touchdowns and it's to, like, worthy Hollywood and Kelce, it's going to, you know, Mahomes going to get it. I think Kelce, kind of his route to this has to be like over 100 receiving yards, maybe a touchdown or two. Like, I think two touchdowns, he seals it home. But a touchdown, maybe, like, with no, you know, not a lot of receiving yards, not going to do it. I think this is the route they go to. I think in big games too, you lean on your veteran play. And your veteran play is the two guys that have gotten you the Super Bowls the past 2 years, that have won you three Super Bowls so far and been to, what, four? You know, this is going to be number five for you. You have to lean onto those guys, into that combination. That combination is Kelce and that is Mahomes, right? That being said, if you don't think Vic Fangio knows that, then you got another thing coming. That's one of the best defensive minds in the NFL is him. He's going to try to take that away or, you know, even slow it down. But at the same time, the Chiefs, like you said, we saw it last week in the Bills game. They run the play the whole season, it's to the left, all the guys going to the left, and then they go to the right, and the Bills are like, we haven't seen that play all season long. We just did not see that coming. And that's what makes Andy Reid, and makes everyone else, is that the adjustments that he can make there in the last second. So I think if they want Kelce open this week, and if they're going to get him open, that's the way I kind of see the Kansas City Chiefs, is there's a whole secret sauce that they have that they just haven't even revealed yet, and it's going to get revealed in this game. And it's also, too, why, Rob, I really struggle. I mean, we've known Horvath's preaching Eagles. I've heard actually a good amount of people preach Eagles, but I just can't for the life of me get behind betting against Mahomes. I made so much money last year taking Mahomes, even through a live bet when they were down. I made so much money the year before that on betting Mahomes to win the Super Bowl. I just can't get behind Eagles pulling it off. I really wish I could, because I would love to see the evil empire fall, but they just don't, man. They just really don't.
It's interesting because, and I heard Schlereth do this yesterday, and it's something that I said on our show on Saturday. I genuinely believe, with the exception of the quarterback position, and I mean this, I don't think there's a spot unit by unit, maybe not individual spot by individual spot, but if I go unit by unit across the field, I don't think there's a spot outside of quarterback that and tight end that the Chiefs are better than the Eagles. Honestly, I think the Eagles have a better defensive line, better linebacker core, better secondary. I think they obviously have a better running back. I think they have a better wide receiver core. Frankly, I think they have a better offensive line. On paper, everything screams Eagles here, but Andy Reid versus Nick Sirianni is my determining factor. I'm a Chiefs money line better.
And I'll go a step further. Kellen Moore versus Spagnuolo. That's a really unfair matchup. You know what I mean?
Don't you disrespect the future new head coach of the New Orleans Saints like that?
Yeah, have fun with that.
I'm not going to.
I have a lot of fun with that. But no, that's ultimately, I think, when it comes down to as well, is those two minds going at each other. I'm like, God, man, I really favor Spags in that matchup.
Yep.
But it's also tough because that Eagles front, like Jalen Carter is just such a game wrecker. And like that's a guy too for, if I really believe the Eagles were going to win, hand up, Rob, this is my bias coming in. And it's from my father. I love betting defensive players to win MVP because my dad, every single day growing up, would talk about the 85 Bears. And a little fun fact for you, Richard Dent won MVP in that Super Bowl. And he told me every day, there's no real MVP like a defensive MVP. So every year in the Super Bowl, I like want to sprinkle a little bit of money on some defensive guy just for the big man, Kurt. That guy this year, I think it's at 66-1 is going to be Jalen Carter for me just because that guy is such a game wrecker.
Look, the only way that you prevent Mahomes from being Mahomes is sacks, is getting him early, getting a hand on him, and keeping a hand on him. And Jalen Carter's him when it comes to that, for sure.
Yeah, and like watch, I know it's like really you're going to watch film of the Raiders, but like watch just Max Crosby versus Mahomes for that too. Because there's no one that annoys Mahomes more than Max Crosby.
Jalen Carter might join that list. Hayton asked Mario Heron from the BetQL Network. He is the executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, which you'll hear this and every weekday from 7 to 11 on this and find Odyssey stations everywhere. My guy, we'll talk to you again next week. We'll lock in some official picks, pal.
Can't wait. Also, a little UFC Shira knockout Michael Venom Page. It's going to be early in the morning. Take it, everyone. Take it. And make sure to get up early. Have a little cup of Joe with a little MMA.
I like that. Little wild card at the end. When we come back, Fight Club with the great one, Lonzo. It is Royal Rumble weekend. We make our picks next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Welcome into the Fight Club, where we educate people who are just, were never wrestling fans or starting to become wrestling fans, including if you're watching on the stream. For the entire break, we were talking to Mario about the Royal Rumble, which we're going to talk about now.
Mario has enough wrestling people in his circle. Ryan Horvath's a wrestling guy. Double D, my Saturday producer, who works for BetQL, he's a wrestling guy. I think Brad dabbles in it. Like, there's enough wrestling fans on the BetQL network. He's always surrounded by it. I was on my regular Tuesday night spot, and you can bet on the Royal Rumble winner. Like, you can wager on the Royal Rumble winner. So Horvath asked me, like, who are my top three picks to put a little change down on, and we got into a whole thing, and you could see Mario, because he sits kind of facing to the side. You could see him, like, turn and look at Ryan, like, dude, are we really doing this? And Horvath had questions. Like, we were after it. It was great.
All right, because some people have an attitude about it. Well, that's not real. I mean, even Mario was weird. You know, it's scripted. Well, we're about to talk about what has got to be the hardest thing to figure out, probably from a betting standpoint, too, especially this year, and it's the Royal Rumble. Because in years past, you could kind of guess, oh, that guy's going to win. And you could narrow it down to at least a couple. This year, I'm not so sure. Obviously, you said you've already picked your three on national radio for both. Before we get to that, there are two other matches on the card so far. They could add some more tomorrow night. And one of them is WWE Tag Team Championship match between DIY and Motor City Machine Guns, best 2 out of 3. Are you interested in this match at all? I mean, do they start with this? I think they start with the Women's Royal Rumble is what I'm guessing. I don't know if they've put the lineup out there yet, but these four guys wrestle really good. They do. This is going to be a good match. I don't know how long it'll go, but best 2 out of 3, it's going to go 3 falls. So I, what do you think? Big 20, 25 minutes maybe?
I could see it absolutely being a full-length match, like a solid 35 minutes. I think this is a point, and I could be wrong. I think this is probably a spot where WWE kind of adds emphasis back to the tag team titles, because really, like, it's kind of lost some steam respectfully, since Motor City showed up. I think this is probably their opportunity to kind of add a little weight back to it, but it's going to take a slapper between these two teams, and I think we'll get one.
Well, you also have some other teams that have been a part of the storyline with Pretty Deadly.
Yes, boy.
And with La Garza. Am I saying that right? For some reason, it doesn't sound right coming out of my mouth. Maybe it's because it's the first time I've ever said it. But anyway, I'm gonna go with Motor City Machine Guns win it back.
That is my gut. But there is so much, as you mentioned, so much drama with the other teams wrapped up. I think there's a lot of loose ends if it switches right now. I am actually going to go with DIY to retain.
Okay. And the other match, aside from the Rumble matches, is Undisputed WWE Championship match. It is a ladder match between Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens. Even with the Rumble going on, both Rumbles, this could potentially be the best thing on the entire card.
It might be. Obviously, it's going to depend on how much they overbook and overcook the Rumble. Are we going to get? I don't think, honestly, I was thinking about it. There's a ton of entries. I don't think there's a lot of room for like those returning legend pops like we usually get. We might get one or two of them, especially with the addition of TNA. I think there's at least one we can kind of count on.
According to what I have, there's only been 15 announced for the men and 20 announced for the women.
Yeah. But so, I also think you're going to have a couple more that I suspect are for sure in. They're just going to, because the thing is, on one hand, they're going to tell you a lot of who is in for the sake of grabbing some attention. On the flip side, we all know why we love this match, which is this is of all the PLAs, this is the one where the most, oh my God, what is this happening things. Right. I think Cody and KO is absolutely going to slap, though, especially this megalomaniacal, but also correct in everything he says, Kevin Owens.
Is this a time when you know, there are hints, there are seeds that may never happen of a faction taking place? Because we know ladder matches are no disqualification, which means a Drew McIntyre could get involved, some other people could get involved. This is the perfect person to take the belt off of Cody, especially if you want to put it back on Roman. I know the Cody Roman rematch would be great, but why not put it on Kevin Owens, have Roman Reigns take it off of Kevin Owens, and then get the rematch.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I acknowledge our tribal chief, our original tribal chief, but I'm kind of done with Cody and Roman.
Yeah, so am I.
I'm kind of over it, so I'm on to
something else.
That doesn't
mean they are.
I agree with that, too. Here's the problem we bump into. We talked about this with Adam Silver earlier. At the end of the day, it's what makes the most money. And right now, there is not a merch mover bigger than Cody Rhodes because the kids are all in on Captain America right now. I don't think they turn Cody Rhodes heel because of the same reason they never did it with John Cena. I think he's reached that level, unfortunately.
Well, I'm not saying turn heel. What I'm saying is he loses the belt. And
here's my question. Can you successfully pull off, now that he's not only been champion, but been champion for approaching a year, can you pull off another Cody's the underdog story?
I think you can when he loses all his friends, which is being set up that he's his friends, including Sami Zayn, who I think will be the key in him losing.
In order to pull that off, though, based on what you have, and this has been my problem with who I think is, honestly, respectfully, been a boring champion, Cody Rhodes. The problem you have is if Cody loses all of his friends, you've just turned to the cheering. You've just turned the whole locker room heel. They've all turned their back on a guy who was always trying to. You've just turned the whole locker room heel.
Who's a greater hero? The hero who stands alone or the hero who stands with friends?
Not the point. I agree with you. You will be elevating in the eyes of the Utes, Cody Rhodes going in alone and all that. But they will hate everybody else at this point. No one's a good guy because Cody's by himself. Nobody's coming to help him unless you have another crop of guys that you're going to elevate who show up and go, hey, Cody Rhodes, I'm so-and-so from NXT, and I see that you're right, and I'm here to help you and build a new stable of good guys, which I guess you can do. But every established star that you have, if they abandon him, they're all the bad guys now.
Well, they all have abandoned him except for Jey Uso. And Sammy, and of course someone who may be returning, Randy Orton. All right, let us get to the Men's Royal Rumble match. Here are the names that have been announced. LA Knight, John Cena, CM Punk, Jey Uso, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, Rey Mysterio, Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura, Logan Paul, Penta, Chad Gable, Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo Hayes, who jumped Cody after Raw went off the air.
I like that.
Yes. And hit him up the middle and a bunch of other stuff and beat him down pretty good in Atlanta.
I like that.
So something else to factor in. Carmelo, another one of those NXT guys, and they do elevate the NXT guys a bunch. Surprises on the men's side, I think Randy Orton probably comes back. I think AJ Styles probably comes back. I think we have said his name. He will appear, and that is Joe Hendry. Who else from TNA? I don't know of anybody else. I mean, do you bring Nick Nemeth over even after the firing and everything because he's in TNA? That will get a pop. And how do you announce him? Also, whether you want to or not, Matt or Jeff being thrown into the Rumble, it's an option now.
You know how hurtful it is as a kid that came up during that era to say, I'm kind of done with the Hardys. Like, I kind of don't need the Hardys back. And that is even friend of the show, Matt Hardy. I don't need the Hardys back. You're eating up a spot for the only guy that, first off, I don't want Jeff around. All right. When Jeff straightens his life out and stays straightened out, I'll trust him to come back. Matt, at this point, can't walk down the ramp without looking like he's been beaten into 1,000 pieces. I just don't need it. Okay. I do think you're getting Orton back. And by the way, that pop when his music hits is going to be.
Also, I just thought of another thing, but it's not going to happen. No, it'd be Santino.
Would be all in on a comedy spot with Santino. Break the record for fastest elimination in your return. I will give you an interesting name. I have already fantasy booked this one, and I'm intrigued to see if they go this direction. Because if they don't, honestly, this is one of those things where I'm like, I'm fantasy booking, but if I'm wrong, then I think there's a point here. Will Dwayne use his corporate power to inject himself at number 31? Will he go, you know what? I have the power to do this now. Now it's a 31-man Rumble. I'm in.
Or if he does will he not, take someone out and say, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm in charge. You're not in the Rumble anymore. Hit the back.
Possibly, but my question is, like, and I guess that really just determines, A, are they going to have a corporate Dwayne character? And B, how vicious is he going to be? Because I'll tell you the way, if I'm in charge, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm going, hey, I'm Dwayne Johnson. I don't want to take an opportunity away from anybody else. I believe in all our talent here in the locker room. I'm a big believer in what we're building here, so I don't want to take away from anybody else. So I'm adding a spot, and that's my spot, right? Like, doesn't that kind of, the heel who believes he's a face is the best kind? Let him be the guy that honestly believes he's promoting the product.
Okay. All right.
Right? But you add him in there, and he takes somebody's spot. That being said,
something else before we move on to the women and before we make our pick. None of the New Day have been selected. Kofi's always in it.
Yep.
What if I got to do it? What if both New Day members come out, they're both kicking butt, and then Big E's music hits?
It would be electrifying without a doubt, but you have created in the New Day a heel faction that has nuclear heat and not like Logan Paul go home heat.
By the way, they'll eliminate him. I'm not saying he comes out and takes
it. No. I think if you do that, I think you take the heat, you put the shine on Big E, but you take the heat off of New Day. You're going, okay, Big E got his thing back, right? He got his vengeance for that moment.
I see what you're saying.
I think you can't until.
I think you're setting things up for WrestleMania. That's the reason why.
I do too. Yeah. But again, if you have Big E show up here and eliminate them, they've gotten their comeuppance, and that story, I'm not saying that story's over, but the nuclear level heat attached to it right now goes away. Right, there's a better spot for that.
Who wins this thing?
I have, as I mentioned, I've got three picks that I'm looking at right now for three different reasons. I am looking primarily at the possibility of CM Punk to get one because he's still got that favor floating out there from Heyman. I wonder if that comes into play. I am looking at Roman Reigns to win it again because you got to elevate him somehow, and I don't know what other way there is to do it without having to generate an entire new story, and there's plenty out there. I am looking at Roman Reigns, and I'm looking at Seth Rollins as a possibility. 7.5 to 1 because of what they did the other day where he was pointing out, like, I could go after this guy, I could go after that guy, go after Gunther. If Roman gets a belt, I get him off. You know, I've got all these different dudes I'm getting after right now. I am going to pick between Punk, Reigns, and Rollins.
Well, you didn't make a pick. I mean, you go to pick between. This isn't for anything other than this show. I mean, who do you think's going to win?
I am going to say I think it's going to be CM Punk. I think that Paul Heyman favor has something to be said here.
All right, I'm going to go with a returning Randy Orton.
You think they just rocket him like that?
Why not? That's what I'm gonna do.
Yourself into an Orton Rhodes feud there, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want a double babyface feud going
to
WrestleMania?
Doesn't have to come back as a babyface.
If he does come back, he just turns on Cody Rhodes, who has been the only guy talking about him for the last 6 months?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Why not?
I mean, I'm down. Listen.
By the way, I don't know if you know who we're talking about, but we're talking about Randy Orton.
Pure, bald, the Viper heel Randy Orton is the best version of Randy Orton.
Yeah.
So I'd be good with that. If he looks at it and he comes back and he goes, you know what? While I was away, I came to the realization that like any given thing could be the end of it for me. So I want to be champ. And as much as I love Cody and appreciate everything nice he said about me, he's got the belt. He's the next target of the RKO out of nowhere.
All right, so the Women's Royal Rumble, here are the announced names. Nia Jax, Bayley, Charlotte Flair, Naomi, Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez, Lyra Valkyria, Ivy Nile, Io Sky, and 20 to be announced. They're going to have to throw in, they've got so many people, so many women in NXT that they can throw in there.
Yeah.
For sure. But Jordynne Grace, from what I understand, has signed with WWE. She's definitely in
like full time.
Yeah, I believe so. Because her
she's a little powder keg. Bro.
Her TNA contract is over. She did not re-sign, and sources are saying that she already signed with the WWE. So who wins the Women's Rumble? I'm gonna go between two. I'm gonna say either Charlotte Flair comes back and wins it all, and you can use the same thing that we talked about Randy Orton, but this is Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair could come back and win the whole thing. And my other would be Jordynne Grace, because what bigger push for someone that you bring in who already is who she is than giving it to Jordynne Grace? And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say Jordynne Grace wins.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, and this is not because, again, they can't put everybody. There are surprises and whatnot at this spot. Jordynne Grace is not on the board as a bettable option right now. Charlotte Flair, and this is one of those times that I almost kind of dislike being a gambling person, because right now Charlotte Flair in both Rumbles is the only minus money favorite on the board. She is not just minus money, minus 200 on the board. So right now, The dirt sheet is she wins. Bianca Belair is plus 175. The long shot, if you want one from me, there's two. Becky Lynch is 4-1, and Alexa Bliss is 10-1 as a returning superstar.
Good shot that we see at least one of those returns. Even all the stuff that we heard about Alexa Bliss, this is still the best place to bring her back.
I don't disagree.
Because she doesn't have to have a feud. You bring her back in the Rumble, she just came back in the Rumble.
Yeah.
And she can develop that later on.
There's also the possibility of, you know, obviously with the Rumble, of there being some outside factors. And the most outside factor, if Alexa Bliss comes back, is obviously she connected to the Wyatt Six or not. So there's a lot on the table here. Just as an FYI, over on the men's side, John Cena is the current favorite at even money to win. Seth Rollins plus 125. Punk 150. The Rock at 7-1, Roman Reigns 12-1, Randy Orton 28-1 long shot to win the men's
Rumble. But he's in there, and even though he hasn't returned, so that means they think he's going to be in it.
They think he's going to be in it. They also can just put him on the board, and he never shows up.
I get it. So do you take a bet like that when someone hasn't been there and there are no rumors that he's coming back just because you believe that this is the spot he will if he's well enough?
No, this is one of those spots where, as a person who likes money, I'm not going to throw any fuel on the fire. As a fan, every time you hear, and the clock hits double zeros, I'm waiting for those voices in my head to talk to me. They understand. We'll see. All right, there you go. Fight Club, Royal Rumble this Saturday. We'll talk about it when we come back next week. We'll talk about some other stuff when we come back.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show, got a few more minutes here. If you want to get a last second text or call in, 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. There's a clip going around right now that I want to play for you real quick. Bill Belichick was doing an interview yesterday, and this happened. So, Bill Belichick throws in there at the end after the interviewer points out they don't call it the Star Trophy. Of course, Bart Starr, the quarterback who helped Vince Lombardi win 3 consecutive Super Bowls to begin the Super Bowl era, the reason it is the Lombardi Trophy. And Hoodie throws in at the end of a very long take about how don't care how good you are as a coach, you got to have good players to win. Maybe they should name it the Brady Trophy. I don't have a problem. I think it was kind of a throwaway line from Hoodie. Here's the issue that I have with it. I popped online today, and dude is getting roasted across the social media landscape for saying, as the headlines have all read, Bill Belichick says they should rename the Lombardi Trophy the Brady Trophy. He's very clearly throwing a throwaway line in there at the end.
What's technically the right, though? He did say that. But no, I agree with you.
He's making a throwaway line that emphasizes the point he was just talking about. Now, I understand not everybody is like me, thinks like me, whatever. I really enjoyed that take from Hoodie, where he's giving credit to the players, and he's saying, look, at the end of the day, you'd be a great coach, but if you ain't got the dogs, you ain't got the dogs. You can elevate good players to great players. You can elevate great players to all-timers, but at the end of the day, you got to have good players. That, to me, is what the focus should have been from Hoodie. Instead, he makes a one-line throwaway joke at the end of an otherwise, I think, well-constructed take with a good point where he shouts out former players of his, and instead all that gets run with is Belichick says they should rename the Lombardi the Brady. And it's like, did he though? Like, did he? I mean, yeah, technically he said it, but obviously he was making that joke there. This is the kind of stuff that gets me very discouraged talking about sports. And I know it ain't a big deal and it ain't the end of the world and there's plenty more important things going on planet Earth right now. But as somebody who loves this stuff, as somebody who's involved with it every day, when I got online thinking, uh-oh, I'm going to have to dog Hoodie, and then I went and actually took 3 minutes to listen to the question and answer that this came from, y'all got to chill out, man. Y'all got to relax.
All right, time to talk about what the X is going on. Rob will tell us what it is. Speaking of chilling out, the first person who's Xing is Tonya Harding.
Oh, God. Is she doing another boxing match? Or is it like the anniversary of the weirdest thing that's ever happened in sports?
No. There's a reason why this is Xing, and this is amazing. She just joined X.
Oh, well. Wow.
And put out a video. I finally figured out how to do this. And people are
welcome,
commenting enough to make it trend.
Enough. Okay.
All right. A lot. Welcome. A whole lot of comments.
You know, there are some people that if I was their advisor, I would go, this might not be for you. Like, this might not be the place for you.
I don't know.
I don't think there's a lot of people.
Whatever happened to Nancy Kerrigan?
I don't know, to tell you the truth.
Exactly.
But I also think the reaction that Nancy Kerrigan would get versus the reaction to Lead Pipe Harding and what she's going to get, going to be wildly different. I'll say very simply, I hope that Tanya Harding has a very thick skin, because it's never going to stop. That's all you're known for. You are doesn't matter what you do, you are never not going to be known as the Lead Pipe Lady.
Well, she was a pretty good skater, too, before the whole
and
thing.
And she still will never be known as any. She could have won 77 gold medals after that happened, and she still will be known as the Lead Pipe Lady.
All right, James on the stream asks, is Tanya entering the Royal Rumble? I don't know. There's 10 spots. She could be.
Hey, you're allowed to use pipes in the Royal Rumble.
You are. It is a
non-elimination event.
Yeah. All right. The next thing that's asking is Phil Collins.
It's his birthday? If somebody's just randomly trending.
Yeah, no, he's not dead.
I assume birthday.
He's not dead. Because if he was, my delivery would definitely have been somber, because I'm a Phil Collins fan.
Sure.
No, it is his birthday.
Okay. He's 79.
No.
Higher or lower?
Lower.
Lower?
Mm-hmm.
Is he in his 60s?
No, not that low. All right, okay. He is 74.
It wasn't terribly far.
I understand the oversaturation that happened with Phil Collins, but Phil Collins is very good at what he does.
I'm going to go so far as to say this. Here's a hot take. You know, a couple of times a year, we always have the conversation of, you know, what's the best movie soundtrack of all time? The Tarzan soundtrack went so had. The Tarzan soundtrack was like top light, like A tier, top of the list, whatever, because Phil Collins was asked to make a quick Disney movie soundtrack and instead decided to just drop banger after banger after banger, and it rips.
You think his woman who cheated on him and caused all those wonderful songs to happen goes, yeah. That's causing me.
I was going to say, I don't know, but in a weird way, like, I'm sad that happened for Phil Collins. Also, I'm really glad that it happened, because we got some rippers.
We absolutely did. All right, the next thing that's Xing is AJ Lee.
AJ Lee. So because it is Royal Rumble time, you are going to start to hear rumors about people that are going to show back up. And the thought is, because Punk has referenced her a couple of times, though not directly, that perhaps we get AJ Lee entered back in the Rumble. And I'm going to tell you straight up right now, because Rob likes him crazy, AJ Lee was one of my favorite female wrestlers of all time.
Yeah, mine too.
All time.
Jackie Redmond was interviewing people backstage. I think this was as of Monday. And he was asked who he would like to see. He's like, I think you guys all know who I'd like to see in the Rumble. So,
Me and CM Punk don't agree on much, but we do there.
All right, the next thing is
for different reasons.
Next thing is Xing is Gene Hackman.
Hackman? Gene Hackman has been ruined because of the whole what was that? What was that from? Hackman? Anyway, it's his birthday too.
Yeah, it is.
Him and Phil Collins share a birthday?
Yes, they do.
Hackman's got to be in his 80s though.
Oh no, he's 95.
95. That just means I'm getting dramatically older really fast. Lordy,
look what's around the corner. And finally, I got to throw this last one in. Year of the Snake is Xing.
Year of the Snake. Is it the Chinese New Year already? I guess it is.
It just happened like a day or two ago, yes. So we are in the Year of the snake.
Randy Orton winning the Rumble confirmed. All right, that's it for us. Thanks for being here. I hope you enjoy the show. Come back tomorrow. We're going to do it all over again. Hopefully better, because, you know, Fridays get weird. So let's get weird. For Lonzo, I'm Rob. Have a great day. Don't drink or drive. I'll punch you in the face. See you back here tomorrow on The Rob Brown Show and The Fan Upstate. Later.